What's up, friends? It's DGS on DHP, and today's guest is Adrian Lawrence, and the topic is motherhood. And guys, men, boys, if you think you shouldn't listen to this, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You should listen. You should listen because Adrian speaks so well from God's word and from her experience on what we as men should understand about motherhood. And you will be helped even if you're not a father. So, yes, listen to this. And women, I hope you are encouraged and blessed. Adrian Lawrence, welcome back to the Disciple Henson studio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's actually your husband's study.
Yeah, you've gotten an upgrade. Maybe this should be your permanent studio.
Yeah, I would just have to kick Michael out on a regular basis, but I don't know. He's worked in the past while we've done these podcasts, but he's not here today. It's just you and I, and we want to talk about mothering today.
Okay.
And you have been so gracious to agree to do this. You were having a meeting with Mary and Mary Alice the other day about planning a mothering event for our church. And I just overheard that. I was eavesdropping and I thought that would be a great podcast.
Yep. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I guess so. And initially you told me, I don't want to do that. But then you texted me, I think the next day, and you said, I should do this.
The conviction of the Spirit came upon me.
Praise God. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. You've been on the podcast before, but why don't you just briefly introduce yourself to us?
Sure. Yeah. I'm Adrian. I'm married to Michael, the lead pastor here. And I grew up in Connecticut, became a Christian when I was in high school. I think what's relevant for this podcast is I grew up in a non-Christian home. So I, didn't have parents who were trying to parent me biblically or mother me biblically, didn't really have a lot of role models of biblical motherhood while I was growing up. Michael and I met in a college ministry, got married, actually delayed having children. Part of the reason was I didn't have a positive view of mothering. But then by God's grace, when we did have children, that really changed. And I loved being a mom. I still love being a mom.
And so how long did you guys delay? You guys were married for how long before you had kids?
Yeah, we waited 7 years. So now part of it was we were not on the same page in terms of me staying home with the kids. So we had to work through some things. I wanted to get a master's degree. And so that was part of the other reason we delayed. Then I really had to overcome some kind of bad ideas of what mothering was all about.
This is just for fun. You mentioned that you're from Connecticut. So were you happy that University of Connecticut won?
Well, I felt mixed because, they've been a big rival of Duke's.
Of Duke.
Where I went to school.
Right.
So it was a real... But now the coach of UConn,
yes,
is Bobby Hurley's brother. And
right.
Bobby Hurley was a great player for Duke.
With Grant Hill in the early 90s.
Yes. Yep. Yes. So it was a very mixed victory.
I understand.
I think I was thankful they didn't have to play Duke. Than my,
Yes.
Well, obviously, I would have just rooted for Duke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fun. You tell us a little bit just more about you growing up in your home. You said it wasn't a Christian home, but tell us about your mom.
Yeah. I mean, even though my mom was not a believer for much of my growing up, she became a believer later in life. Mm-hmm. But didn't have even any models of biblical mothering, even after she became a believer. She was a great mom with common grace. She hadn't had biblical models of mothering, but under common grace circumstances, she was a really great mom. She, a lot of moms at that time were staying home with their kids. That was kind of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So she did that. But I also saw a lot of moms of my friends who were really engross themselves in volunteer activities or just their own personal pursuits. But my mom was really devoted to her kids. She was the mom who was making the chocolate chip cookies, driving us all over the place. She was also the mom who was like putting wheat germ in the chocolate chip cookies. And so I was like embarrassed to feed them to my friends. But yeah, she was really great.
That sounds a little bit like my mom in some ways. How many siblings do you have, Adrian?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of three girls.
Three girls. Yeah. Okay. And you said, or I know she became a believer later on. How did that happen for your mom?
Yeah, my mom, she may have become a believer when she was away at boarding school. But if she did become it would have been like a profession of faith with no discipleship or anything.
I see.
But her faith was certainly reawakened when she had breast cancer, was in the hospital, and some women came to visit her and shared the gospel with her.
So this was when you were already out of the home?
No. So this was when I was late elementary school.
Oh, okay.
So this just like, it took a little bit of time. And then she became a believer, didn't really share that with us. And then over time kind of shared that with us. And actually she was instrumental in me becoming a believer because she brought me to a good church where I heard the gospel.
And you became a believer in high school?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Through the ministry of that church and the youth ministry.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so now talk about, tell us about your kids, just names and ages.
Okay. Yeah. So our oldest is Michael. He's 26. He's here, member of Hinson. Many of you will know him. Mm-hmm. Christian, he's 24. He's in DC, about to take a job at our old church. Sam, 22. He lives with us. He's not a believer, so you don't see him around church, but is in college here locally. Sarah is 20. She's down at Biola. And James is 15 in high school. Just got his learner's permit, so watch out on the roads.
Okay, good to know. That's great. So, You mentioned that, you know, after you and Michael got married, you didn't have a real positive vision about what it looks like to mother as a Christian and faithfully. Did you have later on in like through the ministry of churches or like when you were with InterVarsity, did you see some positive kind of models or have anyone disciple you in how to think about mothering from like a biblical perspective?
Yeah. So I think when I became a Christian, I was mainly in the youth group and then I was discipled in a college ministry. And then our early church experience was in a church where it was all age segregated. So I didn't really have a lot of interaction with other mothers. But after I graduated high school, the youth leader's wife got pregnant, had kids. So as I was older and coming back home and meeting up with her, I saw her mothering. And that was encouraging. And then a professor at seminary. And we spent time with he and his wife and their kids. And that was a very encouraging model. I think I am not a naturally very nurturing person. And so I had this fear that mothering was going to be endless babysitting. And I didn't like babysitting when I was in high school. So that I think that fear just gripped me. And so it was when I saw other moms spend time with their kids and I got to spend time with their kids in a positive way that I thought, oh, maybe this could be different than I thought it would be.
So would you say even up until the decision for you and Michael to have children, was there some fear and trepidation of what is this going to be like even after, you know, post marriage, you've decided we're going to start, you know, a family or we're going to have children. How are you feeling? What are some of your expectations around that time?
Right. Yeah. So I think obviously the idea of what a mother could be and would be like had changed a little bit. But also, I think I was also being shaped biblically as I was hearing the word taught and preached. And I saw that this was really God's design, that he wanted people who were married to have children, and that was really seen in scripture as a blessing to be able to have children. And so I thought we ought to do this, but I still had a lot of fears, honestly.
Yeah. So you wouldn't say that you were just to summarize, that you weren't that kind of type of woman who from an early age just couldn't wait to be a mom.
Right.
The Lord was working on you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. He was working. That was, yeah. Yes. I did not have that as my vision of life.
I would say that's my wife Ashley's experience as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it's honestly a lot of women's experience. And I think in the church, it can be, you can feel judged or shamed if you are saying that that's where you are.
Yeah. Even just the culture of a church can communicate that in ways that maybe aren't intended. But I think women can often feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we had been married probably about a year or so. And I, for some reason, I sat down during one of the songs. And the pastor, he was a wonderful, godly man. But he came up to Michael after the service. And he's like, oh, is Adrian pregnant? And I was like a little bit horrified.
That is horrifying.
You know, but I realized, like, I mean, he was just, I think he meant it very positively. He was just excited.
Sure.
That might be what, and I was like, honey, no, that's not anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
I know that's happened at Hinson before.
Yeah. But I would say, like, if I could go back and speak to my younger self, I would encourage myself not to wait so long, because we were really presuming on the Lord. I mean, we got married young, but I was presuming on the Lord that I could just wait and have children whenever I wanted, and that he would, of course, give me children the moment I started trying. But that was not a good thing to do.
Anything that you would say that just comes to mind that a church can help in terms of discipleship of both of women and men? And not communicating, not like having these assumptions that everybody just naturally, like every woman just naturally wants to be a mom. And this is just go, you know, you should love this.
Right.
Anything that we can do other than not asking women if they're pregnant.
Yes, that's number one helpful. Yeah. I think that it's the word that does the work, right? Mm. So that as we are faithfully teaching the word and then discipling one another in the word, because like I said, it was that positive vision of mothering and it being a blessing from the Lord that I saw that encouraged me to enter into that state.
So then you entered into that state.
Yeah.
You guys had your first child.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, looking back, what's one of the hardest things about motherhood?
You know, one of the hardest things is persevering. Hmm. Persevering in what you know is right and good. You're going to do that against society's opposition. You're going to do that against the opposition of your children. Lord willing, you won't do it against the opposition of your husband, but you might.
Right.
You may be doing it against the opposition of people in your church. And, you know, you just don't, in mothering, you don't see fruit for a long time. And some of us are going to be waiting till eternity to see good fruit from our mothering. So it's just, it's not changing course when you're not seeing that fruit, but continuing on.
That's a good word. And, you know, I think it was Michael who told Ashley and I in premarital counseling that that getting married is like the undergraduate degree of sanctification, and then parenthood is the graduate degree.
He loves to say that.
Yeah.
But it's true, right?
That's been your experience?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay. What's the most wonderful thing about motherhood?
I think, the most wonderful thing is you are able to participate in and watch what God is doing as he's growing and developing these people, these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even like our son, Sam, who's not a believer, I'm still able to see common grace ways in which he is growing and developing and to celebrate those and to encourage those.
Was that an unexpected thing for you? Did you, some of the blessings of motherhood were, did that surprise you at times, some of these blessings?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked about the positives with my mom, but I think one of the things she struggled with is all moms, I think, probably deal with a lot of anxiety, right? You want the best for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the way you see the best is to control, And so my mom was kind of a high control mom just because she wanted the best for me.
Right.
But that also meant she didn't really get to see or appreciate me as an individual. And so I think, I can't even remember what question you asked, but like
being able
to see and cooperate with the work that God's doing in individuals' lives is this huge blessing. But and it's really what I think the call to motherhood is all about, which is nurturing. You know, we see in Genesis 3:20 that Eve is the mother of all living. That's why Adam names her that. And that mothering of all living, that's a nurturing role that we see Eve having. And that as we enter into that, nurturing is not controlling. Right. Nurturing is partnering with what God is already doing in an individual's life and kind of trying to bring that along and help it flourish.
So I was surprised when you said earlier, Adrian, that you didn't see yourself maybe pre-marriage or pre-motherhood as a naturally nurturing person. And now you're saying that, you know, that is a big part of what motherhood,
the core of mothering.
So did you feel like that the Lord kind of worked that hard in you? Was it, you know, did mothering often feel like nonstop babysitting?
Yeah, no, it did. I just, if that's your fear, it's not, I don't think it's like that. And I pray that that's not like that for any woman. I mean, some people love babysitting and babysitting is a great calling. You get to nurture other kids and people who are natural nurturers, unlike me, do really great at that. But the Lord was gracious in that there was this bond with my children so that I wanted to nurture them. So, but it still meant that, I mean, I'm still not a natural nurturer. And so it's still like being formed and shaped by scripture. And it's sacrificing and it's dying to myself. There's actually another place in scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Let's just flip over. I'll just read it. This is such an interesting thing because this is where Paul is actually describing his relationship with the Thessalonians and what he's done with the Thessalonians. And he describes it in terms of mothering. He says in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nurse nurtures her own children. So he's using this idea of mothering, nurturing, being gentle in terms of his relationship with the Thessalonians and what he did in terms of bringing them the gospel. And he even talks later about laboring to see the gospel bear fruit in their lives. So I think right here, I mean, obviously he's using that image to talk about what he did with the Thessalonians, but here we get a very positive view of mothering, of nurturing, being gentle. And then if you look at the verses before and after, it's clear that Paul says he's not seeking glory from people. So it's like putting aside your own glory and desires, putting those to death, and then sacrificing. So I think it's a great picture of what mothering is. And for all of us, it's going to be putting away sinful desires and putting on what we know is right from scripture.
I'm so glad that you pointed us to that text. Yeah. I mean, just if you just read on from that verse too, you see it's such a wonderful picture of what both parenthood is in general, but more specifically because of verse 7, what maybe motherhood is, that we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives.
Yes.
And if that is not a picture of motherhood, of giving your life for your children, because you had become dear to us.
Right. It's a great picture. And, you know, so I know some women where it says, instead we were gentle among you, and they think, oh, I'm not naturally gentle. Well, you think about Paul. You know, you don't think of, I mean, he's a bold man, but obviously he's gentle. Part of that's from that you went on and read of, like, sharing his life with the people. And seeing the gospel, seeing the gospel take fruit and valuing that over his own glory.
Yeah, it's interesting that maybe we think of gentle more like a tone, like a way of speaking or a demeanor, and it certainly is that. But I think for Paul here, we're seeing that it's also a hard sacrificial work for the sake of someone else that has, you know, that Christ-like love. And so sometimes we make some of these things, what it means to be a nurturer, what it means to be gentle, maybe a little simplistic, and we would be well served to look at God's word to define these things. You were talking about how you didn't feel like a natural nurturer growing up, but but how did you come to understand what nurturing really is?
I mean, there were some examples that I saw where I thought women were really nurturing their children well. But also just seeing nurturing in scripture. I mean, I think that's with particularly with Eve in the beginning, and when she's the mother of all the living, Satan wants to put to death. But nurturing is all about seeing life grow and flourish. It's supporting, encouraging, sustaining what God is doing, what God is bringing about. I like what Paul says in Colossians 1 when he's praying for the believers there. He's praying what he says God was already doing in their lives earlier in chapter 1. And so he's like getting on board with what God's already doing. And that's part of what nurturing is about, seeing what God's doing in someone's life and getting on board with it. Nurturing, it's really the opposite of control. Right. Control comes from the root of anxiety, but nurturing comes from a place of trust, trusting that God is already doing work and that he wants to use us, particularly as mothers, to help that work grow. And
so
flourish.
As a mom, you're a gardener. You're not like an engineer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that image.
Okay. How do you evaluate success as a mom?
Right. Yes. So, you know, the temptation is to evaluate success like if my kids are either successful in life or if my kids are believers, right? That's the temptation for all of us. And I think that's kind of what leads to the anxiety and the temptation to control is to try to make sure that those outcomes are realized. But the calling for us as mothers to evaluate our success is to think about faithfulness. Were we faithful? I think about the fact that Eve was both the mother of Cain and Abel.
Oh, that's good. You know, I don't know if I've ever thought of it from that perspective.
If she had evaluated, she'd be like, well, 50-50. I guess I got to see. You know, of course, Seth then.
Well, at one point, it's like she has a dead son and a murderer son.
Well, there it is. So it's really faithfulness. Actually, I was thinking, And you know, of course, we haven't really talked about this, but and we're talking just about being mother of children that are brought into your home, either through birth or adoption. But there's also spiritual mothering and being faithful there and being able to see the Lord use that as well.
Any additional thoughts on what faithfulness looks like?
Yeah, I honestly, I was having lunch with Ann Crows the other day. This is more in terms of like spiritual mothering. And, you know, her three kids right now are not walking with the Lord. But she was talking to me about just her morning at Shepherd's Door. And it was clear that morning she had been mothering other young women at Shepherd's Door through her conversation and through her discipleship of those young women. So, yeah, just being faithful, being able to bring the gospel into your children's lives, being able to encourage them.
Looking to just the,
nurturing, right? It's being faithful in the nurturing of like basically seeing what God is doing in their lives, getting on board with that, and trying to make the, or not make the gospel take root, but trying to look for gospel opportunities with your children.
That's great. So what do you wish men understood about motherhood?
I love this question.
We could do a whole podcast on this, right?
Maybe. Here's what I think is maybe not as obvious to men. Mm-hmm. I think what I would want men to understand is how culture is so anti-motherhood. Mm-hmm. And Satan has warped American culture. And so it is just demeaning of motherhood. It is undermining of motherhood. Like, for instance, Michael and I, when our kids were younger, we would have opportunities to go to events where there would be lots of non-Christians. And I would be chatting with people and it was like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? You know, as soon as they found out I was a full-time mom at home with my kids, it was like, I could just see they were like, oh, this woman is the most boring woman in the room. How can I get out of this conversation and go find somebody else more interesting to talk to?
Wow.
And you know, that
was men and women though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a mixed congregation. Mm-hmm. A mixed group of people.
Right.
And it's just, that is just one like little taste of what mothers who are particularly who are staying home full time are facing every day, how society just kind of demeans what they're doing, undermines it. And you have smart, capable women, our congregation is full of them, that temptation to either like not prioritize mothering, even if you are working, you know, to find other activities or interests that are going to have more value in terms of society. It is so tempting. So I think any way guys can encourage, uphold, particularly when you're talking to non-Christians or you're just in society in general, of just upholding a positive view of motherhood and a view of how important that is.
So men can definitely do that here at Hinson in the church. Mm-hmm. Any other things that you think of ways that husbands, fathers, men in general can encourage moms and uphold motherhood as this high calling, such an opportunity for the gospel. How many people in our church came to Christ in as children under faithful moms who aren't, like we just read in Thessalonians, not only sharing the gospel, but their very own lives. They're like picturing what it looks like to sacrifice themselves for their kids.
Yes.
Anyways, all that, like how can men encourage moms?
Yeah, I think particularly young men can catch a vision for how important this is. Mm-hmm. And so as they're dating and thinking about marriage, that can be, you know, part of that conversation. And they can even plan, how can they plan so that their future wife has that they're prioritizing that for them. And then for guys who are married, think about shepherding and leading your wife in being a faithful mother. And just realizing that takes a lot of time and energy. Mm-hmm. And so anything that you can do to encourage her in that, to have those conversations about how you prioritize that. That may even mean like shepherding her in terms of having conversations about the budget and what you're going to give up so that she can have more time at home, especially when the kids are younger.
Right. As well as budgeting time so that moms can get a break.
Yes.
And get some rest, some time with other adults.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. In order to encourage her when she comes back in, or even like taking some of the kids so she can have time one-on-one with her children. So
that's good.
Yes. Yeah. And then do a great job of being a dad.
Yes. Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest things. Yes. Right. Good.
And cherish her as your wife.
That's good. So. We may just have to have a podcast just on men coming alongside moms, because it's like we talk about it from the other angle of like how can wives support their husbands who are in ministry and things like that. Yeah. But it's good to think about it from the other side.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. Well, those are some good kind of bullet points and things to discuss and think about more. What about kids? What do you wish children understood about motherhood.
Okay, kids.
A two-year-old now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, actually, I'm thinking more like preteen kids.
That's great. No, that's the target audience. Kids, my kids, I hope you're listening.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what I think kids need to understand. You are tempted to believe that pushing against your mom is in your best self-interest, but it's not, kids. here's the thing I have for you. Actually, going along with your mom and encouraging your mom and listening to your mom and being willing to submit to her, that's in your best self-interest. God has given you this mom as a good gift.
Proverbs is really clear about this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Full of it. Actually, good. Kids, read Proverbs.
There you go. There you go. Good.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I pushed against my mom. It's a, yep. It's kind of this natural mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the other thing is just realize, like, you can have open conversations with your mom, mm-hmm. and she most likely is willing to listen to you, wants to support you, because she wants your best interest. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to tell her what you're thinking or what you mm-hmm. want. And
that's yeah. good. And sorry, Mom, if you're listening, for pushing against you.
And yeah, even, likewise, yeah. Mom.
Okay, what do you wish moms understood more about motherhood? I mean, maybe that's, you've already kind of covered that, but anything else that you would add that's particularly aimed, like, what would you tell moms?
Yeah, what I would tell moms is, you need to understand that God has put you in this role. He has given you these kids, mm-hmm. and He has given them the good gift of you as their mom. So you are actually the best mom for your kids. Because I think sometimes we can be tempted to either look over our shoulder and wish that we had different kids, or, oh, I don't mother like her, or, oh, I'm not doing this. And we just need to give all that up. We, like, God is creative. There is no cookie cutter template for mothering, right? The best mother doesn't make chocolate chip cookies every week for her children. There are different ways to do it. It's all about nurturing and making sure those under our care flourish, particularly flourish in the Lord, not neglecting that spiritual aspect of the mothering. But just know who you are, read the scriptures, and mother out of that. And yeah, and then you'll be doing the best job. You'll be present with your kids in your mothering, because of course Satan always wants us to distract us from our mothering. And some ways he can distract us by thinking, oh, I'm not doing it like this other woman, or I should be doing this or that. Mother out of who you are.
That's such an important and good word, Adrian. It just strikes me that we do look for examples, just like you talked about in your own story. Yes. With your the wife, maybe it was. Yes. Of your youth leader.
Yep, my youth leader's wife.
When she had a baby, yeah. You were spending time with her. Yep. So you're kind of getting a little. Yes. Bit of a picture.
Yep.
So models, pictures are helpful.
Oh, so helpful. Yes.
And yet at the same time, you know, you are who you are, who God mm-hmm. made you to be. You weren't. Yes. Going to mother exactly like that mom.
Right.
Who was mentoring you.
Yes.
And so fundamentally, we're looking to Christ and how. Right. He cares for us.
Yes.
We're looking to the gospel.
Yes.
And we're looking to God's word.
Right.
And we're striving to be faithful in.
Yes.
Who we are.
Right.
Or who the mom is.
Yep, yep. No, I think that's a good word, Daniel, because we need scripture, first of all, mm-hmm. to give us the kind of the blueprint or the blueprint of how we should mother. We do need faithful examples. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to give us ideas.
Right.
Of what we can do, how we can mother, and then mothering out of who we are. I mean, I don't want to just say when I'm mothering, oh, this is who I am, so this is how I mother, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that's not faithful. I still need to be shaped by scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to be humble.
Right.
So that if there's another example or model out there that I can learn and grow in my mothering.
That's good.
But yeah.
But I think sometimes moms struggle with guilt.
Yes.
Because we'll call it mom guilt.
Yes.
Maybe we'll call the episode mom guilt, because of how you compare yourself to other moms mm-hmm. who you see to be so faithful, mm-hmm. so natural, so right. nurturing, and you think, I'm not like that.
Right.
So have you ever struggled with mom guilt?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So this is the other thing I think Satan wants us to do as moms is he either wants us to live in the past. Mm-hmm. And this is where mom guilt can cause us to live. Oh, if I'd only done this, you know, my child wouldn't be struggling with this. Or if I had only understood this teaching, this biblical teaching. So we can live in the past just like wallowing in all the things we should have, would have, could have done mm-hmm. for our kids, or mm-hmm. we can live in the future of like anxiety about how they're going to turn out, what's going to happen. And when we live in the past or the future, we are no good in the present. Mm-hmm. So the Lord wants us to live in the present. Mm-hmm. Now, if we need to look back at the past, and sometimes we need to confess sin. Mm-hmm. But once we confess sin, we need to believe in the gospel. We are forgiven. Jesus died for that. And mm-hmm. we need to move on.
That's great.
And then if we're tempted to live in the future, we need to pray about that. We need to give that up to the Lord. And then we also always need to call ourselves back to be living with our kids in the present.
And anything that when you're maybe mired in mom guilt or you've been struggling, things that have given you hope in the midst of mothering.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's coming back to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's remembering scriptures like Ephesians 2:10 and remembering that the Lord's given me good work to do. Mm. And that's always been the case while I'm a believer. And so even though I haven't done those good works perfectly, there's going to be good that comes out of them. And I'll be able to see that in eternity. Romans 8:28, knowing that he uses all things for his good.
Anything else that you would mention, any resources that have been helpful to you or any final word, Adrian, in terms of encouragements for mom, in terms of mothering mm-hmm. in the coming out of the gospel?
Right. Yeah, I could mention some books, but honestly, I think the best resource is the church community. I am so thankful that our church has a diversity of ages.
Amen.
And a diversity of experiences. And so, looking to those faithful examples and getting to know other women and asking them questions about what was their experience of growing up, being mothered, how have they mothered if they've had that opportunity, or even asking other women, what's your spiritual mothering look like? Mm. And how have you done that over your lives? And I think that will be a fruitful resource because we have lots of mature Christians at Hinson.
We really do. Yeah, it's a blessing. And you have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure to all of us today who have listened. I'm thankful that even though initially, Adrian, you said, I don't think I want to do that the Holy Spirit at least impressed upon you to do this, because I think this has been a very encouraging and fruitful conversation. So thank you
for being humble
and willing to talk about this.
Yeah, it was fun to just think about it again.
So, praise God.
Thanks
again.